Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, Max Scherzer made history, then he made more history, and then he almost made even more history. We'll talk about Scherzer's big day, we'll give hack reporter Kevin Acey the attention he so desperately craves, and we'll answer a few listener questions from the weekend. Let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, what's up, Dodger fans? Welcome to Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. There's another podcast on the network called Locked On MLB. Join walking baseball encyclopedia Paul Francis Sullivan, but please call him Sully, every day on Locked On MLB for a unique look at the majors, both present and past. Featuring exciting guest interviews and routine check-ins from the Locked On MLB Network's team of local experts. Subscribe to Locked On MLB today on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Locked On Dodgers is the daily podcast covering the world champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans perspective on our boys in blue. And today, for the first time ever, coming to you on YouTube. For the first time, you can look at our faces when we're doing this podcast, and that's either a good thing or a great thing. But we're excited about it. Today, it's just me. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential. My normal co-host, Vince Samperio of Chavez Ravine Fiends, is also a Raiders fan. He believes in football, apparently, and he went to the Raiders game on Sunday night, so he is unavailable. So here I am with the first YouTube episode. Obviously, we're still available wherever you get your podcasts if you prefer us in audio-only form. However you do it, we appreciate it. Please subscribe wherever you like to listen to us. And like I said, we're going to talk about Scherzer's big day, going to talk about the Dodgers' sweep of the Padres, and just a bunch of stuff from the weekend. It was a good weekend to be a Dodger fan. They swept the Padres again. Unfortunately, the Giants swept the Cubs. The Cubs were useless in trying to help the Dodgers. So the Dodgers remain 2.5 games behind the Giants. You know, we're going to get more into that a little bit later in response to a listener email. So I'll leave that for later. But first, the weekend, I guess there was a little bit of news. Gavin Lux and Matt Beatty were both called back up. First, it was just Lux, and a lot of people wondered why it wasn't Beatty. People have been clamoring for Matt Beatty, as we talked about last week. Just a couple hours after that, Beatty was called back up too when Billy McKinney went on the injured list. And I have it on good authority that Beatty was informed the night before that he was informed on Friday night that he would be called up on Saturday. And so it wasn't, it's not like they chose Lux over him and then only went with Beatty when McKinney was hurt. The plan was to call up both of them. The other big roster move for the weekend was that Kenley Jansen was put on the paternity list because his wife had their baby. So congratulations to Kenley. Mitch White was brought back to the roster to replace Kenley on the roster, which is, exciting for Kenley. He probably wasn't going to be, he for sure wasn't going to be used on Sunday anyway, between pitching 2 days in a row and it not being a safe situation. And he should be back, I think, on Tuesday or Wednesday. And hopefully they won't need him. Hopefully they'll just keep scoring a bunch of runs against the D-backs. So that's the kind of the news breakdown. Other than that, the Dodgers lined up their three top pitchers, Julio Urias on Friday, Walker Buehler on Saturday, and then Max Scherzer on Sunday. All three pitchers did great. Julio didn't allow a run in his, I think, 7 innings of work. Buehler allowed just a 2-run homer to Fernando Tatis. Other than that, he was dominant. And Kenley got the saves in both of those games. Held on a little bit. Joseph Kelly, I should say, was kind of the big unspoken star of Saturday's game. Blake Treinen came in to pitch the eighth, and it didn't go well. He hit the first batter, gave up a couple hits. Eventually, it was 5-4. He had whittled a lead, a 5-2 lead, down to 5-4, and with only one out. And they brought in Joseph Kelly, and he got back-to-back strikeouts with the tying run on third base in the form of Fernando Tatis. Joseph got back-to-back strikeouts to get out of that inning, save the Dodgers bacon, and then Kenley had another easy ninth inning. So great two games, but really Sunday was the highlight of the weekend because Max Scherzer came into the game only 6 strikeouts away from 3,000, knowing that he was most likely on Sunday going to join just 18 other pitchers as members of the 3,000 strikeout club. And so we knew that we were going to be seeing history on that day, on Sunday. We didn't realize we were going to see 2.5 bits of history because before Scherzer got to number 3,000, he had an immaculate inning. He struck out, I think it was Tatis, Pham, and Tatis, Hosmer, and Pham, maybe in that order. And 9 pitches, 9 strikes, 3 strikeouts to get him within one or within two. I think that got him within two of 3,000. He became only the third pitcher ever to have 3 immaculate innings in his career. The first one was Sandy Koufax, and Koufax was the only pitcher with 3 immaculate innings until like 2.5 weeks ago. I think it was August 26th or 27th. Chris Sale had his third one to join Sandy Koufax. And now Max Scherzer has his third. So now there are 3 guys with 3 immaculate innings, 4 other guys with just with 2 immaculate innings. I think that's Lefty Grove, Nolan Ryan, Kevin Gausman. I think one more. I can't remember who the other one is. So Scherzer made history to start with. Then a couple innings later, he got his 3,000 strikeout, striking out Hosmer again. And it was awesome. It was a great moment. They didn't stop the game, really. They flashed up on the scoreboard. It was a 3,000 strikeout. Congratulations. He took off his hat and tipped his hat. But there were only 2 outs in the inning. And Max Scherzer does not let anything get in his way of focusing on the game. So he quickly put his hat back on, went back to work, and didn't even really shake anybody's hands in the dugouts after that. He waited until his outing was done after 8 innings. And then he got his congratulations from his teammates, from his manager, and everything. Really did enjoy it. But it's one of the things I love about Max Scherzer, his competitiveness, just his focus, him staying on point all the time. And then the thing that almost got really historic was Scherzer kept not allowing any base runners through 6 innings, through 7 innings. And then the 8th inning with 1 out, Eric Hosmer, again, after striking out twice, came up and he hit a 1-out double to right field, a legit double. Mookie Betts never had a chance at it. It was just a legit double. Ended up being the only base runner the Padres got the whole game. Scherzer came out after the 8th inning. Brewer pitched the 9th inning to finish off the Maddux, the shutout in less than 100 pitches combined, and just the 1 base runner. And so to see an immaculate inning and the 3,000 strikeout and have a perfect game opportunity, a perfect game scare, it was pretty awesome. Randy Johnson, I think, is the only member of the 3,000 strikeout club and the perfect game club. Johnson was already approaching like 4,000 strikeouts when he threw his perfect game in 2004. So definitely nobody's ever done that in the same game. It would have been pretty awesome. I was rooting hard for it, but it was fun. And it was a great, great game by Max Scherzer, just dominated. And it was nice because he had 2 starts against the Padres with the Nationals, and they did not go great. And so to see him dominate the Padres twice now as a Dodger has been awesome. If the Padres and Dodgers do end up meeting in a wild card game, you like your chances with either Scherzer or Buehler. Obviously, hopefully it won't come to that. We'll talk more about that a little bit later. But just hats off to Max Scherzer, not literally because I have headphones and it would be a big mess to take off my hat, but figurative hats off to Max Scherzer on his awesome day. Love having him in Dodger blue. He looks great. He pitches great. He is great. And that is great. So in a minute, I'm going to come back. I'm going to talk about San Diego Padres reporter Kevin Acey seeking attention with a stupid tweet. And apparently I'm going to give him that attention, but maybe not in the way he was hoping for. So keep it locked on Dodgers. Hey, does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. All right, so Kevin Acey had a tweet early in the game, like actually right at first pitch, basically. And he tweeted out that there weren't enough fans there at Dodger Stadium to celebrate Max Scherzer. He posted a picture from the press box of the stands, and yeah, it was pretty empty. Well, Kevin Acey, here's a few things you might not know. Dodger fans sometimes get to games a little bit late. Dodger fans also know Max Scherzer is starting this game 6 strikeouts away from history. So even if it goes perfectly, they've got 15, 20 minutes to get in there. Also, it was in the 90s in Los Angeles. It was a hot day. The empty seats are in the sun. I have on good authority from a couple people who are at the game. The concourses were packed. People were standing up there in the shade because it's hot in the sun in Los Angeles. The recorded attendance was 42,637. Are those numbers inflated a little bit? Yeah, they are a little bit, but there were plenty of people in the stands. If you watch the videos of when Scherzer actually got the 3,000 strikeout, the crowd was packed and it was loud. That 42,637, the Padres have only had 5 home games this year with a higher attendance than that. And 3 of those were against the Dodgers. So maybe I should have said home games in air quotes, because the reason they filled the stands against the Dodgers is because Dodger fans show up. So if anything, Kevin Acey should be a little bit embarrassed by the fact that the Padres are so bad right now that people don't even want to come watch the Padres, even when there's a chance to see history. But yeah, there were plenty of people in the stands. The crowd is packed. Trying to attendance shame the team that leads the league in attendance every single year, I don't understand it. I think it's silly. It's not like Scherzer was close to history at the moment that Kevin Acey took that picture. He was 6 strikeouts away. You know what? People get there. Oh, one other thing. This series was like one of the most expensive tickets the Dodgers had this year because they started the season not having fans in the stands. So they had a little bit of data to work with by the time they were setting pricing on individual games. And guess what? Around the time that the Dodgers opened up Dodger Stadium, the Padres were really good. And the Dodgers and Padres were looking like they might become a rivalry. Turns out that didn't happen. Turns out there is no rivalry. But at the time, they thought, wow, this is a game that we should charge a markup for. So this whole weekend, the prices were astronomical through the Dodgers, just the face value prices, which meant the secondary market was higher. And so if you had a choice of going to Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, NFL opening day, Rams game down the road on Sunday night, a lot of people go into that Rams game. The Rams fill their stadium too. Are you going to go to Friday or Saturday? Or are you going to go to a day game on Sunday, sit out in the sun, and then go to the Rams game? Of course, Friday and Saturday were bigger sellers. So it's silly. It was a silly attempt by Kevin Acey. I never heard the guy before today. I assume if I was a Padres fan, I would have heard of him. I've heard from a couple Padres fans on Twitter that they're not big fans of his either. So I don't know if that's a universal opinion. It's in the 90s, NFL opening day, and they still had 42,000 people. Even if you do think that's inflated a little bit, even if they only had 35,000 in the stands, guess that what? That's still more than most teams get. Definitely more than teams get on a Sunday day game when there's an NFL game in the same town that day. So you know what? Any criticism you have of Dodgers attendance, Kevin Acey, bring it on, because I've fought tougher battles than that. I'm not a tough guy at all, but that's an easy one. I can just point to you. I can give you a link that shows the Dodgers lead the league in attendance every year. And you're going to complain that they buy their championships too. Well, the reason they can afford to buy championships is because they lead the league in attendance every year, because Dodger fans show up, whether it's for the social event or because they're true Dodger fans, doesn't matter. Tickets cost the same for everybody. So Kevin Acey, you got your attention. It was a dumb tweet. I've now called it a dumb tweet. So cute Padres fans saying that I'm so triggered and you live rent free in my head. As Vince and I talked about last week on Friday's episode, if you say something stupid and we point out that it's stupid, that is not triggered. That is not rent free. That is calling a spade or calling a stupid tweet a stupid tweet, which is what we're doing here. So Kevin Acey, Hack Reporter, congratulations. And your meaningless desperation ploy almost worked out. But instead, the Padres got one base runner and the Dodgers swept the Padres. And, I guess that's better, huh? I'm trying to think if we got anything else on the weekend series before we jump into the listener emails. Walker Buehler, I want to go back a little bit to his Saturday game. He looked really, really good. He had basically a 2-pitch stretch. He gave up a base hit to Machado, and then a home run to Tatis, and actually then gave up a double to Hosmer. It was like three batters, four or five pitches. And other than that, he basically just dominated. He looked really, really good, went seven innings. And, you know, just I feel like his Cy Young candidacy took a big hit with his rough game against the Giants. And in this game, his ERA actually went up a tiny bit. He was at 231 coming into the game. His ERA for the game was 233. So he ended the game at 232. Between that and Corbin Burns throwing a combined no-hitter on the same day or the same weekend anyway, it seems like the Buehler for Cy Young train might be going down. The Max Scherzer for Cy Young train might be picking up steam, because I think Scherzer now leads the major leagues in ERA again. And so, you know, Scherzer might be passing Buehler in the ERA chase. And, oh, by the way, Julio's ERA is under three now. He leads the major leagues in wins, which is a meaningless stat, but not to everybody. And he's been dominant. And so it's just wild to me that the Dodgers are going to go into a postseason series, assuming they get to a postseason series, they're going to go in with their top three starters, all being guys who are going to get Cy Young votes. Having three starting pitchers like that. And oh, by the way, tonight, Monday, they get Clayton Kershaw back. That guy's won himself a couple Cy Young awards, MVP award. He's been the best pitcher in baseball. And, and speaking of Clayton Kershaw, my last thing for this segment, after the game, after Max Scherzer's game, he said he hopes he is still a Dodger when Clayton Kershaw gets his 3,000th strikeout. Kershaw's still 300 and some strikeouts away, which means Max Scherzer said, in so many words, I would like to re-sign with the Dodgers after this season when I hit free agency. Guess what? Let's not wait that long, Max. Call up Andrew Friedman, say, hey, how about we work out a three-year extension right now? And Andrew Friedman, you take that call and you say, yes, Max, let's do that. Because Jeff from Locked On Dodgers said we should do it. And because it's a smart baseball move. But I loved hearing Scherzer saying he wants to stay with the Dodgers. Can imagine him with Buehler and Julio both still under contract for a while. Kershaw will be back, I'm sure. You know, I mean, that's the makings of really good rotation. And also, by the way, they have a really good offense. So I'm going to come back in a minute. I'm going to answer a couple listener emails, and I'm going to talk a little bit about Cody Bellinger. So keep it locked on Dodgers. I've told you about Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar in the world. It is delicious. It is healthy. You can eat it and not feel guilty. And what more could a person ask for, especially a big fat guy like me who's trying to be less big and fat? I am trying to eat healthier. And if I have the options of I'm going to eat a sleeve of Thin Mints or a grasshopper cookie Built Bar, guess what? They taste about the same. And the Built Bar doesn't make me feel guilty because it's super healthy. Every Built Bar, they've got 10 or 11 flavors. Everyone has 17 or 18 grams of protein, 130 to 180 calories, 4 or 5 grams of sugar and net carbs. And they're all delicious. There's something for everybody. You can go to built.com. You can buy yourself a mix box and they'll send you a couple of every flavor. So you can try out what you like. And then next time, just focus in, say, you know what, I like these two. I'm just getting a box of each of these. They're so good. They're so healthy. And it's really the best of both worlds. And if you go to built.com, you can use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com on your next order. That's promo code LOCKED15, 15% off at built.com. All right, I'm back. Going to talk a little bit about Cody Bellinger really briefly. Then we're going to jump into a listener email with a couple questions. Cody Bellinger looked pretty good on Sunday. He hit the ball hard. He had himself a double. He had himself a line out. In all the time, you could see this weekend, his batting stance has changed. Now, Cody has long been a tinkerer. He is a guy whose batting stance changes a lot, especially when he's struggling. But he's also a guy who usually in the past has figured it out. He struggled really bad in 2017 postseason, struggled at times in 2018, got it together. 2019, best hitter we've seen in a long time. 2020, struggled, got it figured out at the end of the season and in the postseason. 2021, he struggled. But, you know, if he could get this figured out, even if he doesn't turn into 2019 Cody Bellinger, if he can turn into 2018 Cody Bellinger, or, you know, that would be a big upgrade from what he's been with the value his defense brings. And if he could just not be a liability at the plate, be a guy who occasionally gets a hit, can at least get you a sac fly when you need a sac fly, because he's come up in a lot of sac fly situations and not come through. Come up times when a productive out would have been good. I am not a fan of productive outs just on their own sake. I think they're good. They shouldn't be the goal, but they do have value. And so a guy like Cody Bellinger, when if we could get back to where that's his worst case scenario, that he's giving us a productive out, that would be awesome. So, you know, I don't know if he's really turned anything around, but things looked a little bit better this weekend. So I have a modicum of hope, I should say. So with that said, I'm going to jump into an email that we got at LockedOnDodgers@gmail.com. Our buddy Douglas Stanley. Doug is a frequent emailer, frequent commenter. I think he's an everyday listener, so we love him for that. And he sent actually three questions that they're all really good questions. So I'm just going to go through each of them a little bit. First, he said, you addressed an earlier question I asked about the Dodgers getting hit by pitches. After watching Austin Adams on the Padres hit a bunch of Dodgers and hearing how he set the record for most batters hit, I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on what MLB can or should do with someone like this. He came within a microsecond of decapitating Trey Turner. Of course, Oral made it clear that none of it is on purpose, but I would say that if you take the rubber knowing you can't control your pitches, that is very much on purpose. What about if there was a rule that said if you hit two batters in an inning or three during the same game, you're ejected? I think that's a safe and sane response to pitchers and teams that don't care about their opponent's health. It's not a huge stretch of the imagination to believe that the Padres want to hurt the Dodgers. So I love that question, Doug. I appreciate it. I don't think I'm in favor of a rule that ejects a guy for hitting batters if it's not intentional. Right now, obviously, you can be ejected if it is intentional, if the umpire believes it's intentional. And at the Little League level or something, I think I'd be in favor of a rule where, look, dude, if you can't stop hitting our hitters, you're going to be ejected. That I think I'd be okay with that at the lower levels of baseball. Once you get to the major leagues, though, it shouldn't be something that comes up very often. So I don't know that I'm in favor of making a rule for it. But I think I am in favor of maybe adjusting the, or at least considering adjusting the penalty. Because right now there's a penalty for hitting batters. The batter gets to go to first base. Any runner who's forced gets to advance a base. What if all of those things were two bases? You know, if every time Austin Adams hit a batter, that batter got to go to second, and every other runner on base got to go forward two bases too, or at least the ones who were forced or whatever. So if there's a runner on second and you hit a guy, it's now second and third. If there's bases loaded and you hit a guy, two runs score and it's second and third. Like Austin Adams wouldn't have a job anymore. He would lose his value so fast. He gets a lot of strikeouts. He's actually been a decent pitcher. Before I started recording, I was listening to Javi from Locked On Padres talking about the value Austin Adams has brought. And it's kind of funny that he has now set the record for most hit by pitches by a pitcher. It's ridiculous that a relief pitcher now holds that record, a guy who throws far fewer innings than a starting pitcher. It's crazy. But yeah, he hit three Dodgers in one inning, almost hit Trey Turner. I wouldn't agree with Doug that he almost decapitated him because I think it was a breaking ball that almost hit Turner. But, you know, anything up by the head is scary. And he hit Gavin Lux in the foot. Lux looked like he might be hobbled. I think he was okay. He stayed in the game. But yeah, you know, I'm not a big fan of that many guys getting hit. I don't mind. You know, Chase Utley's famous line when somebody asked him, do you like getting hit by a pitch? And he said, I don't not like it. That's kind of how I feel when the Dodgers get hit, as long as nobody gets hurt. But we've seen Seager miss 2 months with a broken hand. We've seen Justin Turner in the past. He got his hand broken by Kendall Graveman a few years ago at the end of spring training. You know, it's not good to have guys getting hurt. And I think if the penalty for hitting a batter was worse, like two bases, you know, yeah, so pitchers would say, well, that means we can't pitch inside. You still can pitch inside, just not so far inside that it hits him, you know, and it would go against both teams. It would be frustrating when a Dodgers pitcher, you know, like Blake Treinen, when he hit Adam Frazier in Saturday's game, he had him like 1-2 and then he hit him. And can you imagine the frustration of the swing of he's about to strike out Adam Frazier? Oh, instead Adam Frazier's on second, which it was because he then stole second. But that's a different story. But, you know, so it would go both ways. But I'm in favor of at least considering that. I've seen people throw out that idea. And I don't hate that idea of the two bases for hit by pitch. And I definitely think that would address the issue because Austin Adams would not be on a major league roster if all 23 of his hit by pitches this year had cost his team two bases instead of one. Next question from Doug. Is there a point, and if so, what is the point, where we take our foot off the gas and settle for a wild card spot? He says, if there's a week left and we're three games out, do we say screw it and start lining up the rotation for the quick turnaround between the wild card and the NLDS? What if there's 2 days left and we're a game out? What would they do if it was GM Jeff running the show? And what do you think they'll actually do? Going balls to the wall until the end might not be the best course of action, especially if your foe has it locked down and is coasting the last week. That's a really good question. I wish I had a really good answer for you, Doug. I think there probably is a point. I don't think it's anything before kind of your scenarios, like even a week left and three games out. Yeah, I guess maybe. I definitely wouldn't go any farther out than a week because so much can happen. And I feel like, I don't know, with the way the Dodgers are, you look at the postseason schedule, obviously, if they become convinced that they're going to be in a wild card game, they're going to want either Max Scherzer or Walker Buehler available for that game. And so they're going to need to at least line up that much. But there are a couple days off, and so even if they went, as long as they had that available, I think they could go with a pretty decent rotation. Because as I mentioned, all three of their starters, their main postseason starters, are going to be guys getting Cy Young votes. So you could put them in any order. Obviously, there's an optimal order, but there's not really a bad order to put those three guys. So I think that gives them an advantage. They can go as hard as they need to. I think it would just be with three or four games left. Chances are, if it's a week and you're out three games, you could still go hard. And if you pick up two games in the next 2 days, well, then it's 5 days and you're only a game out and you keep going. If you don't pick up any time and it's 4 days and you're still three games out, then, let's do another one and we're eliminated. It really only comes down to if they actually almost tie it and don't, or I guess I'll jump into Doug's last question. He says, a related question, what happens if the Dodgers and Giants tie? Is there a one-game playoff to determine the division winner? And then immediately after a wild card game, I'm not sure I'd want to be in that situation. That's a recipe for getting bounced out of the playoffs in a hurry. Can you go over the scenarios and the schedule of potential games like this? So yeah, they would have to play a tiebreaker if they ended up tied at the end of the season, just like the Dodgers and Rockies did in 2018. They'd play a game 163. That would be in San Francisco, and it would be on, I think, that Monday, the day after the season ends. So that would be October 4th. I'm just looking at, if there's a game 163, it would be on October 4th, Monday, October 4th in San Francisco. The loser of that game would then host the wild card game on Wednesday, October 6th. And then you have to win that one. If you lose both of those games, you're out. And so, in a way, I definitely understand what Doug is saying, that it's scary to think of tying it. And if you lose that game, then you have to play the wild card game. And then you start the division series having burned both Buehler and Scherzer. But if you look at it the other way, it's, you have two chances. If you win the game 163, now you are hosting the division series that doesn't start for three. The NLDS starts on Friday, October 8th. And so if you win a game on the 4th, win game 163, you have 3 days off before the division series starts. And so, you go as hard as you can in game 163, throw Scherzer or Buehler, whichever one you choose. And then that guy could pitch game two or at least game three of the division series, because game two is on Saturday. So if he's pitching on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, he'd be on regular rest for game two of the division series. And so there's really, I still think that's the best, obviously the best scenario. Scenario one, win the division outright, finish a game ahead of the Giants. Scenario two, tie the Giants and then go beat them in San Francisco. You can do it. The Dodgers, I do believe, I know it upsets some people. I believe the Dodgers are a better team than the Giants. I think, nobody's getting days off in a game 163. They're going as hard as they can. They're throwing either Buehler or Scherzer. Both of those guys are big game pitchers. And so I like their chances in a game 163. And then as a fallback, we have the other guy of Buehler or Scherzer pitching in the wild card game. And even then, like I said, whoever pitches game 163 can go on regular rest in the division series of game two. And then whoever pitches the wild card game can go regular rest in game three. And so really, it doesn't hurt that much. You just end up going with Julio as your game one starter instead of your game three starter. And that's not so bad. Julio as your game one starter. A lot of teams would like that situation. So that's kind of the scenario. And that's why, you know, I don't see a need other than making sure that either Buehler or Scherzer is available to pitch. Basically, you want both of them on regular-ish rest so that they can pitch a game 163 and or a wild card. Dodgers have had plenty of success in bullpen games. And I think if they were to let their foot off the gas, it might be in that form where they say, okay, you know, let's go with the bullpen game here and try to win a game this way so that we can hold Buehler and or Scherzer back. But I think the goal is going to be to win it until it becomes clear they're not going to win it. And that is kind of different for everybody. So thank you, Doug, for the email. I really appreciate it. Always love hearing from you. The rest of you, I'd love to hear from you too. Obviously we love doing this show. It's a new thing for us doing it on YouTube. I hope you enjoyed this. If you're watching us on YouTube, it might be a new audience. You might be listening to Locked On Dodgers, watching Locked On Dodgers for the first time. Appreciate that. If you haven't yet subscribed, either here on YouTube or wherever you're getting your podcasts and listening to us that way, please subscribe there. We love talking to you guys every day. If you're not listening or watching every day, go ahead and add 1 or 2 days a month to your rotation. That would do great things for us. If you have friends or family who love the Dodgers as much as you do, you know what? They might love this show as much as you do too. So be sure to tell them about it. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at Snydog. Vince is at Vince Samperio, and our shows on Instagram and Twitter are at Locked On Dodgers. DMs are open in all of those places. As I mentioned before, our email address is lockedondodgers@gmail.com. And our phone number for voicemails or text messages is 323-863-LOCK 5625. Looks like I didn't do very well on those graphics going over the top. I'll do better next time. It's my first time. But thank you for listening. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Betting on baseball doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favored picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get podcasts.